dive into the Americas Today with hosts Carl Meacham and Robert Funk for insights on U.S.-Latin America relations and inter-American dynamics you won't find anywhere else. So in this episode, the first of three sessions with Maria Corina Machado, we delve into the life and struggle that she's taken. She's an emblematic figure of the Venezuelan opposition, recently barred by Venezuela's Supreme Court from participating in the presidential elections. This decision, which excludes her from any election for 15 years, comes after her victory in the opposition party's elections, where she emerged as the main electoral threat against Nicolas Maduro. Despite the regime's attempts to undermine her campaign and the incredible pressure against her team, Machado remains steadfast in her fight for democracy in Venezuela. Today, we're going to explore her trajectory, her challenges, and her vision for a country facing a deep political and economic crisis, marked by repression and the massive exodus of its citizens. The following sessions will focus on economy and environment in today's Venezuela and the Venezuelan diaspora in the United States. So I hope you enjoy this. I know that we will, and we enjoy the privilege of being with Maria Corina. So let me get this started, Maria Corina. Like, how'd you get into this mess? I mean, this has been decades of your involvement. I know I met you about 20 years ago when you started with Sumate. And I was impressed that was during Chavez's tenure as president. So it's been a while. But how did you get involved in this?
Well, thank you so much, Carl. It's been a long, long way, and I appreciate immensely this opportunity you give me. You know, many people ask me that same question. I ask myself, how did I get into all this trouble? Because to be honest, I was part of a generation that grew with huge disconnection and distrust towards politics and politicians. And my dream was to follow my dad's steps. He was a great engineer and entrepreneur. But my family gave me a profound love for my country, a sense of responsibility with the destiny of Venezuela, and love for freedom. And I could only imagine myself living in freedom and in Venezuela. So I had no option. And when Chavez decided to divide our country and to promote, you know, a feeling of confrontation among Venezuelans, you know, I realized I could not keep with my plans for my life and look the other way around. And one thing brought another. And we started with Sumate, certainly an NGO to as a watchdog of elections. And I suddenly realized that, you know, if I did care for my country, I need to go further and stop complaining about how politicians commit mistakes and start trying to do it on your own. And it's been tough. I think all this long path has been like swimming against the tide, because everything I started, people would say it's impossible, you won't do it, you're a woman, you come from a family that's, you know, had a good economic position, you will never reach to a majority of Venezuelans. But we've been able to overcome all these obstacles, and we're facing that, I think, the biggest opportunity of our contemporary history for Venezuela and for the region.
Maria Corina, you mentioned one of the comments that you get is, oh, you're a woman. Is that in Venezuela? You know, in Chile, we had, when Michelle Bachelet was elected, many of the comments were, oh, such a conservative country has elected a woman leader. Is that a particular challenge of Venezuela, or is it a plus? I think in the end, for Bachelet, it ended up being actually a plus electorally. How have you felt that?
it's tough to answer, Robert. I would say that it was an obstacle, and today is a plus. I think that I had to open, path and windows, because certainly in Venezuela, women have a super hard load of housework. I mean, over 60% of families doesn't have the father present. So women have to take care of the children and also take care of supporting economically their homes. And also women are most of the leaders in communities. So it's huge, the amount of load you have. I divorced when my children were very young. So I had to also take care of my house. And it was difficult because it meant getting involved in politics, to leaving my children alone and missing many of the most important moments of their lives. And I felt very, very guilty. I still do. And then I really put their lives in danger, and our house in danger, at risk. And I finally had to send them away. So these are away from Venezuela in order to keep doing my job. So these are all things that, get involved, and many women stop from, assuming more and more responsibilities because of all these issues that are a fact. Nonetheless, I think today, given the fact that what really moved us in Venezuela to struggle and to move ahead, which is bringing our family back together, having our children come back home. I mean, that is the most important issue that unites Venezuela, regardless of our political or economical situation. I think that being a woman and being a mother is certainly a huge plus.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that you've gone above and beyond. I mean, you've been very brave. There have been situations where you've had open confrontation. There's one situation where I think you were pretty roughed up by the members of the parliament. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because this is something that I think a lot of folks that are listening don't know about you. I think they see or they read things that you've said in the newspapers or in the media, but they don't know what the actual journey has involved here. And you've had some serious confrontations, sometimes physical confrontations. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because if I was your kid and mom was out there doing what you're doing, I would be afraid. But can you talk a little bit about that?
They certainly are, and they have suffered a lot, as I say, and my mom and my dad too. Well, look, I have a particular way of saying things. I am very respectful, but I stick to the truth. And I've called Chavez and Maduro for what they are, and it was it has been very costly. And there was one day in 2012, I was a member of the National Assembly, and Chavez was presenting it's like the State of the Union equivalent in Venezuela. And he's not supposed to give the word to members of the parliament, but he started. And he started mentioning me, provoking me. And at the end, I stood up and spoke. And I said things that I had, here stuck in my stomach, but things that no one there wouldn't have dared at that moment, where Chavez was perhaps at the highest level of popularity, to speak out. And this was like not only national television, but it was compulsory that every single private and public media outlet were transmitting this message. So everybody heard me calling Chavez for what he was and the lies he had said. So I think that was a breakpoint. And Chavez decided to go after me and to make me pay for that. I felt very lonely at that moment. Everybody like moved away from me, and I the only thing I thought was, how am I going to get out of this place alive? And from then on, the regime has certainly intensified its persecution. No, 2 years later, after the 1 year later, 2013 election, it was a critical moment at the parliament, and I was hit. I was really badly hurt in the middle of a session at the National Assembly. They broke my nose in 5 pieces. A colleague from the official officialism party ordered by the Diosdado Cabello, and they, you know, decided to let me know what it would mean to stay coherent and firm in my values and positions. And it has been very troubling for my family, for my colleagues, for my friends. But I think at the end, people recognize and value when you stick your principles, even if it means taking risks of all sorts.
Yeah.
If we can do a quick shift to, I imagine that courage of yours also helps explain, helps answer a little bit my next question, which has to do with the unity that we're seeing now in the opposition is really quite new and quite striking. One of the criticisms that's always been lobbed at the Venezuelan opposition is the lack of common strategy, unity, and so on, to confront Maduro, Chavez and Maduro. How do you see the current moment? The bright spots and the dark spots, because the bright spot is that unity. The dark spot, of course, is the obstacles that they've placed before you. But how do you see that current moment? And also, how are you going about it? What's your daily routine as a candidate? How are you campaigning when you're not supposed to be campaigning?
You know, Robert, I think this is a unique moment. Never before in 25 years, the balance of forces is so favorable to democratic forces in Venezuela. And certainly one of the reasons is how we managed to have, you know, to coordinate all the sectors of the opposition, which I have to say, we have to understand that we are facing a criminal system which uses blackmail, extortion, threats to divide. So it certainly there are mistakes that have committed the opposition, but we have to understand, you know, the degree of pressure the regime puts in place in order to maintain people divided. So it was, I certainly think, a huge importance that we managed last year to get all political parties aligned with the primary process. And it was something that many people thought it was impossible to happen. People used to say political parties will never accept that it would be the people who would choose. And the people's power and pressure made all the political parties, even those that weren't so happy about it, to commit with this process. And then they said, you know, there will be a very low turnout because, you know, there isn't resources. We are absolutely censored in the media. I didn't have not one interview on national TV during the whole process, the whole campaign. You know, so people won't find out, people will be scared, and they thought, you know, perhaps a million people will participate, and almost 3 million people actually came out that day on October 22nd. And then they say there's no way they will let you participate, me, Maria Corina, because, you know, you are the main threat to the regime, and they won't let you, don't dare to think that you will win the primary. And we did, and we got over 92% of support. So, you know, I do think that day, October 22nd, in the primary, was more than a milestone. I think it was the closure of a political and social cycle in Venezuela. Many don't realize how profound this is, but believe me, this is, you know, there are waves and waves of grow after that, people coming together. And now I do think that we have a united opposition, a legitimate leadership, and citizen organization that is developing as we've never seen before.
And then let me touch on that last issue as our last question for this session. How are you keeping the opposition together? I mean, I think what Robert is saying is a good question. I mean, and I've heard arguments for and against that, Maria Corina, and so have you. The perception is that, you know, if the Venezuelan opposition could get it together, things could be different. And I think a lot of folks don't understand the level of oppression that you experience and how great an accomplishment it is to get to this moment that you've led. But how are you keeping it together? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the answer is the pressure from bottom up of the own structures of the parties is huge. Everywhere I go, the members of all political parties, regardless of their ideological position, it's quite impressive. You know, last week I met with a movement that is part of the socialist, let's say, ideas. Some of them were ministers in Chavez's cabinet, and they have joined our movement. And what they say is, yes, I have, you know, difference in terms of your ideology, but I do think what they say is, I do think you are the leadership that can make change take place. And so that's values in terms of justice and freedom and democracy are above those differences. So this is something very powerful. And I would just have to insist, because Robert asked me before, how is campaigning in Venezuela today? It is not that they just want to ban me and that's it. No, we're totally persecuted, Carl. I mean, I cannot take a plane, not private or commercial, because they would lose their license to move domestically. Of course, I have 10 years banned from leaving my country. I cannot rent a hotel room anywhere because they would close the hotel or the restaurant. We have people in our teams, in our campaign managers in the States that were detained, and they are now as political prisoners at El Helicoide, which is the biggest torture center in Latin America, and we're totally censored in media, and I mean the roads are blocked when I move around the country. These are the kinds of obstacles we face every day, but the amount of support that we're getting is growing and growing and growing. And people say this is much more than an electoral struggle. This is an existential one. And that's the kind of conviction that at the end, believe me, will make the regime understand that it is in their best interest to facilitate a transition through a true negotiation with us.
I think that's a great spot to, it just makes it very clear that this is a real struggle for you and for the country. It's not a normal presidential campaign. It's much more than a presidential campaign. Your bravery and that of your whole team is really something. And so it's a great spot to end this first session, and thank you. And we will continue the conversation in the next chapter. So thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Americas Today. We hope our conversation has provided you with a deeper understanding of the complex and evolving relationships within the Americas. Don't miss our next episode, where we'll be joined by Shannon O'Neill, Vice President of Studies and a Nelson and David Rockefeller Senior Fellow for Latin America Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. Shannon will share some of the insights that she has outlined in her recent article, The United States' Missed Opportunity in Latin America. It's a discussion you won't want to miss. We look forward to having you with us again. Until then, this is Carl Meacham and Robert Funk wishing you a great day ahead.